Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and good afternoon. And welcome to tonight's episode of Sister Talk. This is your host, Theola J. Abram. And we have a bit of a surprise tonight. While I am your regularly scheduled host, and I say regularly scheduled host, it's because on tonight we have the honor of having a special guest host, Miss Pamela Dobson. As some of you may know and others probably not, Pamela Dobson is the author of A Family Affair, a book of poetry that she wrote, and it's taken from her very own life's experiences. She is also a public speaker, and she travels with myself, Sina Tate, and evangelist Karen Denise Lewis on the Trinity Break Every Chain tour. She is also a marriage motivator. I like that title, Marriage Motivator, where she actually hosts a Periscope and a Facebook Live daily read to encourage marriages by reading great books on marriages, 7 minutes per day. And the purpose of her reads are to support and foster healthy marriages. So I wanted to just start off tonight a little different than we normally do, and just let all of our listeners know that we will be having a special guest for tonight. And the reason being is because I'm actually going to be the guest, a bit surprising. And this actually all took place on Sunday morning as I was putting around in my bedroom, minding my very own business, when the Holy Spirit said, "You're the guest host on this week's Blog Talk show." Imagine the shock in me. I stopped and said, "Me? Well, I can't interview myself." So I took it upon myself to suggest to our Heavenly Father two people that I thought would do good in conducting the interview. That's funny, huh? I suggested to the Father. Wow. Well, anyway, as a result of my Sunday morning conversation with God, here we are tonight with our special guest host, Ms. Pamela Dobson, and she will again be interviewing me as a guest on Sister Talk. And most of you who know me know that I really don't like being in front of the camera or doing anything live, so this is a bit of a stepping out for me, which I've been doing a lot of lately. But God is obviously in control. And, you know, after a series of events that have taken place, I've just decided that I am no longer going to do the pushback game with God. I'm just going to allow him to bring forth in me what he desires to bring forth. All right, so let me just recap that tonight we have a special guest that is going to be hosting tonight's show. The reason being is because I myself am going to be the one that is being interviewed. But I want to start off having made that announcement by going back and thanking all of our listeners who are listening in, those who have taken the time to chime in, those who have been chiming in for the past 6 episodes and who are joining us tonight for the 7th episode of Sister Talk. I want you to know that we appreciate you tuning in. And again, I always want to let you know that I realize that time is very precious and valuable to us. And more so than ever for this episode, I am kind of reflecting on how valuable time is and how precious it is. So I want you to know that you taking your time on a Thursday evening in what I consider to be prime time, 7 p.m., is very much appreciated. So again, I just want to express my gratitude to you and tell you thank you for tuning in for tonight's show. And again, if you've been tuning in for previous episodes, I definitely want to thank you for doing that as well. All right. So as you all know, before we get into our episodes at our Sister Talk, I always like to go back and remind you of upcoming events we have. And I want to do that as well tonight. I want to remind you that our Trinity Break Every Chain tour is scheduled for next weekend. That would be next weekend, April 2nd, which is a Sunday, in Phoenix, Arizona. And then we will be in Los Angeles on Saturday, April the 29th. And you can find out more information, more detailed information, I should say, on the Trinity's website. And that website address is www.trinitybectour.com. That's trinitybectour.com. Again, April 2nd, which is next Sunday in Phoenix, Arizona, and then April 29th, which is a Saturday in Los Angeles, California. So please visit our website to get more detailed information. I also want to let you know that we are excited about our fourth annual Living Life and Loving It Women's Conference. That's going to be taking place on June 23rd, which is a Friday, and Saturday, June the 24th. That's our fourth annual Living Life and Loving It Women's Conference. We are already receiving registrations, and vendors are already signing up to be vendors. So if you're interested in attending the Women's Conference, I would encourage you to visit our website at www.sceoanew.org to join us. We would love to have you. I'm really excited because we have a really wonderful lineup, girls. I'm excited at the fact that it will be a two-day conference this year, and we will be having it in lovely Sacramento, California. Again, if you're interested in attending or being a vendor, I encourage you to visit our website, www.sceoanew.org. Now, once again, that's June 23rd. That's a Friday from 6 to 10 p.m. and Saturday, June the 24th from 11 to 5 p.m. You do not want to miss this amazing event. It's going to be awesome, and I'm really looking forward to being there. So, Trinity Tour. Phoenix, Arizona on next Sunday, April the 2nd, 2017, April the 29th in Los Angeles, California. That's April the 22nd. I think I may have messed up. Sunday, April the 2nd in Phoenix and Saturday, April the 29th in Los Angeles. And that's trinitybectour.com, Women's Conference, 4th Annual Living Life and Loving It, Friday, June 24th, 6 until 10 p.m., Friday, June the 23rd from 6 until 10 p.m., and then Saturday, June 24th from 11 to 5 p.m. I would ask all of my listeners to pardon me if I seem a tad bit off my game. It's been somewhat of a crazy week for me, but nevertheless, I believe in persevering. I believe in pushing through, and more than that, I believe in consistency. So despite what I may be going through in my personal life, I still believe it's very important to persevere, to push through, and to remain consistent. So here I am, trusting in God to get me through all that I need to do. So amen and hallelujah. So, all right, let's go ahead and jump into this interview. I want to let you know, should any of you listening in have a question for me or Pamela, you can email your questions to info@sceoanew.org. I would ask you to please include in your email your name, your question, and to whom your question is addressed. And we will do our best to answer your questions during our live show. So I am actually going to bring Pamela on in just about 3 seconds here, and we are going to go ahead and move forward with this interview. All right, Pamela, are you ready to go forward?
I'm ready. I'm here.
All right.
Good evening.
I'm going to be quiet now and let you go. Go ahead.
All right. Good evening, listeners. It is my honor and my privilege to do this, to host this show this evening with our beloved Ceola. As you can tell, she's not necessarily on point and as clear as she is, but she's doing a fantastic job because what many of you may know or may not know is that she lost her beloved Granny 2 days ago. It's a very challenging time for her, and I don't know if this time if she would like to share a little bit about Granny with us, or if she's able to or not.
I think I can just say that it's been really hard. You know, I've had a couple of people ask me how I'm doing, and I was with my family a couple of days ago, and it was good to be with my family because we haven't seen each other in a little bit, but it was good. And I think my cousin, I spoke with one of my cousins today, and we were both saying that we just always thought, as strange as it may sound, that she would always be there. I always saw my grandmother as just being resilient. While I understand death and I understand that death happens, it's inevitable for all of us, I just never in my wildest dreams imagined that she would leave. So it's, you know, I have moments, and it's just really kind of hard to wrap my brain around it. She was like my mother. You know, I talked to another cousin of mine yesterday, and we were saying, while our parents were there, my mother was there till I was 16, and my other aunts, they're still here, but it was still our grandmother who raised us. She raised all of us. And so, yeah, it's been really hard. It's been really hard. Interestingly enough, I've been having somewhat of a difficult time breathing, you know, but God is good. So, yeah, let's move on.
Yes. Well, praise God. I'm glad that you were able to just open up that little bit, because I know it is a challenging time, and I happen to have personally met Granny, and she was a granny to anybody that came in contact with her, just that perfect, loving person. Okay, well, let's turn the page. And some of you know Ciola as Minister Ciola. Some of you know her as Prophetess Ciola. And some call you Mom, and some call you Mentor. For those who don't know you, who is Ciola J. Abram?
Wow, okay. Never had to think about who I am. Okay, who is Ciola J. Abram? You know what's interesting? It's interesting to be in the seat being asked all the questions. It's easier to ask the questions than to answer the questions. You feel somewhat like you're on the spot, and I guess you really are on the spot. Who is Ciola? It's interesting. When I think about who I am, I just think of myself as I tell everybody, I'm just Ciola. You know, I've never been one that is really kind of hyped on titles. I don't really want to be called minister or prophetess or mentor or, you know, all these different things. I just want to be Ciola. You know, I think it, you know, for me, it's a safe place. You know, so when you ask who is Ciola, you know, Ciola is simple. I don't require a lot. I don't really require an audience. I don't require, I'm simple. I just want to be Ciola. Ciola loves to decorate. Ciola loves to sing. She used to be able to do that a little bit. You know, Ciola loves to read. I love to write. I love to spend quiet time with God. I'm real simple. I don't require a lot. So when you ask who is Ciola, Ciola is simple. I'm simple. I don't require a lot. I'm just simple. You know, when I was, I guess it was anointed, pronounced, I don't know what you call it, prophetess on June 28th, 2014, I remember that date because it was the date of our first women's conference going on 4 years ago, or 3 years ago. I struggled with that title for 2 years, and you personally know that because you've been on this journey with me going on 4 years. I personally struggled with that because I've seen that title so abused. You know, people want to be called prophetess. People want to be called all these titles. You know, but for me, I took it seriously, and for 2 years, I asked God. You know, I respect Prophetess Alicia Brown. I respect her for who she is. You know, but I had to hear from God, you know, because so many people can pronounce the title on you. They can attach all these things to you. But I wanted to know, was it of God? Did you say do this? Because I don't want to step out and do anything that he didn't ordain, he didn't call. And even when, you know, I was licensed as a minister 2 years ago, or going on 2 years ago, the same thing. I struggled with that. You know, I remember asking a friend of mine about 7 years ago, who are you? And I remember she started telling me everything she did. And I said, I didn't ask you what you did. I asked you who you were.
Yes.
So with you asking me tonight, it really made me think about that. Who are you? A prophetess, a mentor, a minister? Who are you? Not what I do. Who are you? And the answer would be, I'm simply a child of God who wants to honor him. That's it. That's all.
Yes, and that's what you often say. I'm just interject here. Ciola is like David hidden on the backside of the mountain, taking care of his cattle and whatever he was doing. He was not interested in being in the forefront, but God called him out. So all I can say is God's calling just Ciola out. Okay. Okay, so we're going to go on with the interview. Now, I know you as not liking to do public anything. Like I said, you like to just, she likes to stay in the background and do what she's doing without all the fanfare, without being out in the front. But what, why did you decide to be a guest on your own Blog Talk radio show this evening?
That was not my choice. Trust me, it was not my choice. I am minding my own little business, as I read earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Piddling around
mm-hmm.
on Sunday, I was getting my clothes ready for the week, you know, working in Sacramento, so I commute to Sacramento a few days out of the week. So Sunday I was piddling around, packing my luggage, getting ready to come to Sacramento, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You'll be the guest on Thursday's Blog Talk radio show." And I thought, huh? First of all, I thought it was pretty personally, I thought it was presumptuous. I mean, come on, seriously?
Uh-huh.
We're going to interview
uh-huh.
me on the radio show you told me to do. I thought it was arrogant. I thought it was presumptuous. And right up until today, I'm just being completely uh-huh. honest. Right up until today, everybody who knows me know me. I don't bite my tongue. At 4:30, I was really contemplating canceling the show because it just didn't feel right. But
right,
I couldn't cancel
right.
it because I knew God ordained it. I knew He said do it, but I didn't feel comfortable. It's like, seriously, that just seems really arrogant. I mean, come
hmm.
on. But
right.
only God knows what He's doing, and if anything's important to me, it's doing what God tells you to do, even when you don't understand it. And I actually talked to a friend of mine this week, and we had some ideas around doing this, you know, some marketing ideas, some strategy ideas, which, you know, she was really, really valuable and very good pointers on what to do. And the natural side of me was saying, yeah, these are all wonderful ideas. We should really do this. But the other side of me was battling because I knew God said, no, do it Thursday. And I was struggling with that. And then with everything that happened with my grandmother, it was still in the back of my mind, you know. And I had every right to say, nah, we're not going to
mm-hmm.
do that. But I knew
but,
that God said do it. And so I've learned over the years, whatever God tells you to do, I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care if it makes absolutely no
mm-hmm.
sense at all. That's really a good indication that it's God when it doesn't make sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
I knew I had to do it. So while I don't understand why it was necessary for me to do this episode, I only know that it was necessary for me to be obedient. So here I am. But truly, it wasn't something I sit up and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do the seventh episode of Sister Talk, and I'm going to talk
right,
about all
right.
this stuff. Child, please. That was not my thought.
Well, you know, the scripture says that it takes the foolish things to confine the wise. So a lot of times the things that the Lord will have us to do don't make 1 ounce of sense to us at the time. But when we look back, we'll understand. So you're being obedient to the Lord, and you're teaching all of those that are listening. You're teaching me as I run around with you how to be obedient to the small, little, detailed things that God tells you to do. If you know God tells you to do it, just do it. So we thank God for that.
Okay,
I'm going to ask you another question. Growing up, when you were growing up, what did you see yourself as doing or being when you grew up? I know you wrote a book, and she put much of her story in that book, A Story of Overcoming. Okay, I know it was the book, Story of Overcoming is the name of her book. So can you kind of give us a little bit of, you know, what did you think you were going to be when you grew up, or what did you desire to be?
Well, I didn't meet my father until I was 17, so when I was little, my mother used to always have me dancing and prancing and singing in front of, folk, in front of folk. So what I wanted to be is I wanted to be a singer. I always wanted to sing. I used to love to sing, and I still love music. I love music. I love to sing, so I wanted to sing, and actually, I am model because my aunts were models. My Aunt Teresa and my Aunt Bay, they were models. And, you know, they had a contract with Motown Records when they were young. They didn't accept it. It was offered to them. We were talking about this a few days ago. They didn't accept it. So they were my role models. You know, my aunts, my grandmother, and my mother, they were, you know, at that point in my life when I was 7 and 8, they were like my role models because we were always together. So I wanted to mimic them. I wanted to be them. I really wanted to be my grandmother, you know, but I wanted to mm-hmm. be my aunts because they were beautiful and they would sing and that I just wanted to be them. So when I got about 16, 17, that's not true. When I was 15, I started modeling in San Bernardino, taking some mm-hmm. photographs. And then after my mom passed, I moved to LA and I became a part of this group, where I started singing, and we had one incident where we were performing in Hollywood and somebody was mm-hmm. grabbing at my dress, and it just really made me feel uncomfortable. And I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sing. I don't want to model because I don't want to have folks think maybe that's where my stage fright came in. Like, I don't really want to be in front mm-hmm. of people. So, but that's what I wanted to be. And then after a while, I really got to, as a child, I could also recall saying I wanted to start a homeless shelter for women and children only because of what my mom mm-hmm. went through. So those would be the three things, singing and modeling. And I think a lot of time, the singing had a lot to do with my father not being in my life and me hearing how he sang with all these people mm-hmm. and how popular he was. And that was probably my attempt to being close to him, having never met him until I was 17. So a singer, a model, right. and then I wanted to build a homeless shelter.
Okay. So, you know, I personally, Lucille, I call her my spiritual baby, and I love her like I love my children. She is a very beautiful young lady, but she has issues with people always telling, oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so pretty. Can you tell us a little bit about how that makes you feel, or the accolades and the things that people say about you?
I don't like it.
And why?
I don't like it. I think a lot of times there's so much focus on the exterior mm-hmm. of a person. You know,
yes.
I think
mm-hmm.
we rely so heavily on how a person looks or what mm-hmm. name of mm-hmm. Brand of clothes they wear or what their title is or what kind of car mm-hmm. they drive. You know, so a lot of the determining factors in the value of a person are, you know, the relevance of a person is really kind of contingent upon how they look or what they wear or what they drive or where they work. And for me, it's yes. so much deeper than that, you know. So to me, personally, it's just me. I think if you look beyond the exterior of a person and you get to know the heart of a person, the mm-hmm. the spirit of a person, that's what's most important. That's the key. That's the real
yes.
person, because a lot of times we can yes. dress up a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We can make stuff
mm-hmm.
look good, and then you know, and it's almost like we're perpetrating a fraud because you don't know the real person. You never really get to know the real person because you have bought into what was presented to you.
Yes.
And I don't,
yes.
I just
very
want
good.
People to know me.
Just want them to know Ciola.
Just Ciola, just simple Ciola.
Just Ciola. Okay. Well, simple Ciola, God has given you a nonprofit by the name of Sisters Celebrating Each Other. So can you tell us how that came about, your nonprofit?
Yeah. Again, with my mom and everything I experienced with my mother, just wanting to start what I call back as a child a homeless shelter for women and children. So I always wanted to do that. But as I grew up and, you know, matured and went through everything I went through in life, and over the years, it just seems like I've always been a magnet for women to come and talk to me about everything. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I learned over the years as I began to really kind of open up and tell my story. And back then, I didn't really think I had much of a story, you know, because I had tried to run from my past. I tried to run from being raped and molested. I tried to run from my mother's drinking and everything I experienced as a child. You know, when I came to the Bay Area, I tried to reinvent myself, you know. but the more I became open and transparent with that part of my life, I started recognizing that more women were coming. Not only were more women coming, but those who were actually talking to me were opening up more and sharing things that they perhaps had never shared before. And then it just became mm-hmm. like, wow, You know, I never thought, like, yeah, this, there's something to this. I need to start a nonprofit again. That wasn't my thought. One day I was sitting at my computer. I'll never forget it as long as I breathe. It was March 3rd, 2008. I sat at the computer, and these words start coming to me, and I typed them as they came. And when I finished, they're the mission statement to the nonprofit that we have today. And it was August the 23rd, 2011, when we incorporated in the state of California. I remember I typed up all the paperwork online. I had been doing research for a number of years, you know, probably like a year or two researching nonprofits. And I remember I had did all the paperwork and I was getting ready to push the button. And I remember I just walked away from the computer and I went into our bedroom and I rested my head in my husband's chest and I just started crying. And he's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "It's too hard. I can't do it. It's too hard." And he just turned me around and he walked me back to the computer, set me down, and he said, "Babe, push the button. Just push the button." And I'm glad that he really, you know, encouraged me to push the button, because after all the research, it just seems like it was so much, you know, bored. And the state of California requires that you give yourself a title, and I struggled with that title. I don't want a title, you know. I just want to do what you tell me to do. But so that's where it all came from is, you know, I think it's just an accumulation of my life, my childhood, my experiences as an adult, and the seeing the need, identifying the need, you know, as I had these conversations and as I came into these relationships with other women, I began to see that there was a need that not only they had, but I also had that same need. And what could we do to rectify that need? And here we are trying to rectify those needs.
Rectify that need. Yes. Awesome. So Sisters is what you do by helping women and children, and you're passionate about that. So can you give us a little more about your passion towards helping women and children?
I think about my mother, and I think about myself. And I think about, had I not, you know, growing up and in school, I got my GED when I was 30, and I proudly tell people that, because only God could have accomplished what he's accomplished. But it's not that I wasn't smart or, you know, academically good in school. I was, you know, I got excellent grades. I was really good. The problem was, is I wasn't able to go on a regular basis because of what my mother was going through. So the latter part of my high school years were really challenging, you know, because it was during the time my mother was doing a lot of heavy drinking and a lot of stuff was going on in her life. It was very tumultuous, and that made it tumultuous, a tumultuous time for myself as well. So I wasn't able to go to school on a regular basis. I wanted to go to a four-year college. I saw myself going to college. I didn't say this earlier, but the other thing I wanted to be was a lawyer growing up, because I always wanted to fight for the underdog. So it's not surprising that I'm here now fighting what some would consider, you know, the underprivileged, because I always wanted to do that. And even now when I see people being mistreated, I automatically want to step in and defend them. So my passion is really kind of wanting women to see their true purpose. And now that, you know, I've been walking this walk with God for a long time, it burns so deeply in me to really kind of just get women to see themselves for who they truly are. Like, who did God call you to be? Who are you? What did God call you to be? Live that life. You know, it's not about trying to be what everyone else wants you to be, but who did God call you to be? When he called you forth and placed you in your mother's womb, what was that purpose? And that's my passion. It's like, come on, sisters, step it up. You know, who did God call you to be? Do it. Do it. Be every bit of who God called you to be. Don't settle for less than what he's called you to be, what he's called you to have. Don't settle. But I also want to encourage women, don't stop. I just lost my grandmother, and I'm not the only one. I have cousins and my aunts. We all lost someone very dear to us, and I could have easily said, "Oh, tonight I'm not going to do this." Everything God has given me to do is extremely hard. It has been extremely hard, and it has cost me a great deal. You don't even know how much it's cost. But do it. So my passion is encouraging women, don't give up when it gets tough, when you don't understand, when you don't see, when people talk about you, when they backbite, when they stab you in the back, when they set you up, and trust me, it has happened. Do it anyway.
So like Nike
that's
says,
my passion.
Just do it. Just
do it.
God. Right.
Yes.
And again, I know she's not just talking, ladies and gentlemen. She is very passionate about what God has given her to do in her heartfelt for women and children. Based on where she came from, God was preparing her for that. And she's always trying to help somebody. And she'll give what she doesn't have to help a sister, you know, because I've been there and seen it. Well, in terms of projects and events, as we were talking about sisters celebrating each other, what's on the horizon with Sisters Celebrating Each Other Incorporated?
Okay, what's on the horizon? Oh, I keep forgetting about this, which is crazy. And I think because I was talking to, I know she won't mind me mentioning her name, Michelle McLaurin-Turner. Hey, Shelty. she is, her and I are working on this this play. God gave me the concept of this play 8 years ago, and I have been holding on to it. And I was actually just telling her this morning, I had excitement about doing the play. You know, a few months ago, I was really excited about it, but I didn't see it coming forth. I knew the date that God had given me for May 2017, but I just didn't see it. And when we started moving forward with it, she helped me complete the dialogue with the play, so she helped me write it. And so when it was done and, you know, we started, like, looking for a theater and then discussions about songs, you know, a soundtrack, not just songs. It was that word soundtrack. And it all started freaking me out. Like, wait a minute, whoa. you know, I told her today, I was like, I tried to, you know, like cancel this like twice, but God wouldn't let me. So with all that being said, Sisters has a play that will be debuting at the Empress Theater in Vallejo, California on May 13th. Of this year is called From Female to Woman to Lady. And it's the, again, the concept God gave me over 8 years ago. And it really kind of talks about the generational decline. And the question that God presented to me when he gave me the idea was, what happened to God's daughters? We were born female. We were taught how to be a female, but we were raised to be a woman, but no one has ever taught us how to be a lady, God's lady, what that requires. So I'm really excited about that. I hadn't been up until like earlier this week, like Monday. I just had this jolt of spiritual joy, and I was like, "Ooh, wow, where'd that come from?" But thank you, Jesus, you know, because I hadn't had it, and maybe because again, it was forcing me out. You know, now I got to come out, and they're talking about soundtracks, and they're talking about traveling with the play, and we're talking about this might turn into a movie, and it's like, well, whoa, wait a minute, we can't just stay right here, and do, you know, so
right.
For me, it's always God is pushing me out, but I'm like, no, can we just stay right here? Nobody has to know my name. We don't have to do all of that. So I think that's what terrified me. So we have the play coming out, and then we have our fourth annual women's conference, again, that's happening on June 23rd and June 24th, Friday, Saturday of this year. And then this year in Sacramento, we're going to be doing our first annual Sisters Picnic. And in August of this year in Sacramento, we are going to be doing another episode of our SPF 90 program. That's our spiritually, physically, and financially fit 12-week program that we're going to be doing. And then the Lord laid it on my heart in October to do this other one-day seminar called STOP, which more information will be coming out about that. So there are there are some good things happening with sisters celebrating each other. Oh, and thank you, Jesus. I know. A friend of ours in Fresno has donated two homes on 2.4 acres of property to Sisters Celebrating Each Other to establish our home for women and children. So I am really excited about that. And some good friends of mine are actually going down the first part of April for me to scope out the land, look at the house, and tell us what we need to do to get it up to par and get it working. So I'm really excited about that. And I almost missed that opportunity. This friend of mine, they mentioned it to me once before, like back in the latter part of last year, and I ignored it because I thought, there's no way. I have so much God has given me. There is absolutely no way I'm going to Fresno to do that. And then we were there for our Trinity tour, I think, in January. I think I was there ministering or whatever I was there doing in Fresno. They presented the idea again, and I almost missed it. But someone said, hey, wait a minute, baby, you might want to take a look at what God has given. And I'm glad. I'm glad about it. So, yeah, great things. Great things. All to the glory of God.
Great things. Wow. As you guys listen to what she said, Sisters is doing, it gives you a headache. Isn't it overwhelming? and I'm with this lady. I talk to her. We pray together every day. And it's like, and as I listen to her now, I'm like, how does she do this? And then she's got the sisters, and she's got the play, and then she's got a book, and then she's got the tour. I'm going to ask you, how many projects are you working on now, and how do you do it?
Only by the grace of God. Only by yes. Because I did. It's only by the grace of God. I'm here to tell you, in our reality, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be able to do any of the things that I am doing. I've learned that when God has truly called you to do something, he will grace you to do it. And I know sometimes that's a church slang and we all say that, but no, really saying that because I know it's nothing but God. There is absolutely no way in AT double hockey sticks that I would be able to do any of this stuff that I'm doing because it takes, in the natural realm, it takes brain power, it takes mental capacity to be able to remember all of this stuff. You know, that's why I'm saying when I just want to encourage somebody out there, if God is giving you multiple things to do, don't pull back because you say it's hard. Because, and please, please, don't take this the wrong way. If you know me, you know that I'm not one to brag about anything. But there are several websites that I maintain on a regular basis, designing the websites, writing all of the materials, writing the blog talks, doing the Trinity tour stuff, I'm just not even going to go into all of that. But whatever God has called you to do, he will grace you to do it. So don't feel like it's too much. There are times when I say, God, it's just so much. But I try not to complain. I just try to say thank you and keep going. But you know what it does? It keeps me on my knees. It keeps me in prayer before him. It keeps me inquiring of him because I know that I can't do it in my own strength. And it keeps me humble before him. I've had God take my ability to do stuff before. And I think I'm glad that he did that back in 2008, because had he not taken my ability to do stuff, I probably would have thought that it was my ability. I probably would have thought, oh, it's me. I can do this. But when he took my ability to do stuff, I realized that I couldn't do anything without him. Now, it's like I have a serious, healthy reverence for God, and I know that I can't do anything without him. So that is a constant reminder that, hey, I know what it's like. And rather than go that route and experience that again, I'd rather stay right in my position as a child of God, behind him and in obedience to him. And so I get teased for praying about everything, but I don't do anything. I try not to do anything without going before God because I don't want to err.
Right. And that's true. You do. She goes before God for any suggestion, anything you want to ask her. She says, okay, well, I have to go pray. I have to go talk to God about it. And that's a beautiful thing. I say it all the time, but it's a beautiful thing. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. And when you use the talents that God has given you, he gives you more. So he just keeps on loading you with talents because you're using them. He gives you one thing, and then he'll give you something else, and away you go. Praise God. Well, at this time, let's talk about your book. Why did you decide to write it, and what is your book?
Again, I didn't decide to write that book.
Okay.
So how did that come about? In school, I I was always afraid to write. I used to love to write, but I was always afraid to write. And I was afraid to write because, again, of my inability to attend school on a regular basis. Even though, you know, I did well in school, and English was one of my favorite subjects, I always felt inadequate in terms of writing. So I was always afraid to write. So, you know, when the thought came to write a book, actually it wasn't a thought. It was, you know, I started, you know, the Lord told me to share some information on the first nonprofit sister's website that I designed, which was horrible. And he told me to share some information on the website about myself and about my past. And when I did that, and then he instructed me to share it on a prayer call that I was invited to speak on. And then it just kind of manifests that, you know, he had given me the title of the book many years ago, and I just held it. You know, I have this thing I call the word shelf, so I set everything on the word shelf that God gives until it's time to move with it. So I just kind of left the title there, and I have like seven more titles, you know, of books that he's given me, but I haven't done anything with them, so I just kind of set them on the shelf. And then it just began to unfold, you know, this whole book thing. And I started writing that book like 8 times before I actually wrote it. And then when I wrote it and it was finished, it had so many errors, you know, and I was so embarrassed because I'm such a perfectionist, you know. But I wrote that book while I was caring for my grandmother. I wrote that book while I was caring for my aunt who was here. I wrote that book while we were going through some heavy financial challenges. I wrote that book, you know, doing some health issues. I wrote that book during some very, very, very challenging times. You were there, but most people wouldn't even believe it. And so I had them go back and edit the book again, and it still had some errors that I was not satisfied with. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't want it to go out like that. But I'm telling you, even with the errors that the book does have, it is still getting good reviews because the content matter, from what I'm understanding from people, is really good and it's really helping people. So I just thank God for it because, again, I think it's just a huge success when you can finish what you start, you know. And sometimes I think we focus so much on, again, how it looks and how it this and how it, rather than the heart of the matter. So I think God is like, I'm not concerned about all that fluff. I want to get to the heart of the matter. So when people read it, they get to the heart of the matter. So I'm excited that, you know, he's given me that opportunity to share my story, you know, a story that I didn't even realize I had. So I'm grateful that, you know, God has done what he's done and he's allowed me to, you know, to partner with him on doing what he desires to do. I'm just a willing and an available vessel.
Yes, yes. And the book is a powerful book. It's a book that can be used as a study book. And, yes, she did. She edited it about 10, 15 times. And I'm trying to tell it before I'm trying to get it published. She kept editing it because she is a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. But thank God it's out and it is published. From your book, what is your desire? What do you want to come from the book? I must say that from her book, I'm now part of the Trinity Break Every Chain tour, which all originated from her doing what God told her to do, obedience and writing her book. So what's your desire? What do you want to come from the writing of that book?
Again, I really just had to, again, because it was not my desire to write the book, I don't want to sound like super religious, but it really is how I live my life. I just want, you know, I go back to God and ask, what is your purpose for it? You know, what do you want to come forth from this? If it was my desire, if I had said, oh, I'm going to write this book and I want to sell like 500,000 copies, that was not my thought process regarding the book. It was always, what do you want? What do you see, Father? What is the purpose behind this? And so in asking him that, again, it is for women and men to understand that they're not alone. Not only that, to see the liberty that's found in being transparent. I think so many times we tell people, you know, again, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And that's such bondage. And then we say, oh, you got to be discreet. Now, I understand using discretion, you know, but at the same time, we have to understand that there's such liberty in being transparent. You know, I had a couple of people say, oh, you committed adultery. You need to tell who you did it with. I said, why is it important for me to tell who I committed adultery with?
Right.
I'm not trying to tear anyone's family apart. You know, that would just be malicious. Why would you want to do something like that? It's not important. The who is not important. What's important is that you don't do it. What's important is that it's not good. So it's not about the person. It's about the message. So for me, I would want you to get what's in the book. Learn that you're not alone. Learn that you are not what you've done. Your past does not dictate or define your future. Understand that God is a forgiving and a merciful God, and there is nothing that you can do outside of blaspheming the Holy Spirit in which you won't be forgiven. But God will forgive you of your sins. He will forgive you of your past. That's why he sent Jesus to redeem us and to bring us back into right relationship. You know, I want to let people know I contemplated suicide. Don't do it. I want to let people know that I did commit adultery, not once, not twice, three times. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I want to let people know that, you know, as a parent, you can learn. You can be redeemed. Parents don't come with instruction manuals. You know, I want to let women know who were not able to have children, it's okay. You'll survive that because it's not about what you give birth to naturally. It's about what you were able to pour in and deposit into people spiritually. You know, I mean, there are so many things that you can get from the book, and those are the things that I want people to get. So I tell my story transparently because, hey, what is there to hide?
God
said, tell
in the book.
Tell it. So find liberty, find grace and mercy through the story, because when you read my story, you'll see that there is liberty, there is grace, there is mercy, and there is forgiveness. Why? Because I've received all of those. So I want you to know if he can do it for me, he can do it for you.
Praise God. That's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, as we're getting near the conclusion, we've got about 13 minutes left. Can you just give us a little bit about what's on your heart? As we're getting ready to wind down, can you express to us what God has laid on your heart that you would like to share with us on this evening?
Okay. What has God laid on my heart? My heart, my heart, my heart. You know, I have my heart is really for, my heart is for women and children. That really is my heart. But I've noticed over the last 4 or 5 years that it's really been the condition of the church.
Yes.
That is like one of my serious pet peeves, and I think that's why I have such an issue with these titles, you know, we so easily toss around. And I sometimes wonder, do we understand the seriousness behind that? I think sometimes we have kind of lost place of the reverence for God. You know, everyone's a prophet and everyone's a prophetess and everyone's an evangelist and everyone's an apostle. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the fivefold ministry. I understand that it exists because God called it to exist. I understand and I get all of that. But I really, my heart desires that people really understand that it's serious. When God assigned you a title, when he has called you to be something, and he just didn't call you when someone pronounced it or announced it or anointed you. He called you that before he placed you in your mother's womb. You weren't just given that title when somebody else recognized it. You were born into that title, you know? So understand that first and foremost, because he said before he placed you in your mother's womb, he foreknew you. He knew who you were. Yes. He knew who he called you to be. He knew the time and the season in which you were to come forth. He knew what giftings and talents he gave you and the purpose in which he gave them to you. So this is not something that just happens. It was already established. And I think when we understand that, then we can come to a place where we appreciate and have a higher reverence for God, a higher respect for who he is and why he gives us those, so we don't abuse those titles. So and please, people, understand that with the title and without the title, we are merely servants first.
Yes.
Mr. This, that, or the other, you are a servant first. Don't lose sight of that. And if God has called you in any of these positions, it was called, he's called you to serve. I often think about Jesus, and I think about here he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what did he demonstrate most was servitude.
Servitude.
He never thought himself above anything. He was always among the people, available to the people. He was able to be touched by the people. You know, he was with the people. It reminds me of something God said to me in September of 2009. He said, study Mother Teresa. And I remember sitting in my home office, and I thought, study Mother Teresa? And I remember the Holy Spirit said, yeah, because she never stayed in the five-star hotel. And I went, huh.
Mm.
And he said, she always stayed among the people. Now, I don't know Mother Teresa's story in the sense that I don't know if she's ever stayed in a five-star hotel, but if the Holy Spirit says she's never stayed in a five-star hotel, then, hey, he's the Spirit of Truth.
All right.
So I don't know, but I think what he was trying to get me to understand is never get too haughty, because he knew what my life was to be. So wherever I take you, never lose sight that your focus should always be on the people. And I think we've kind of gotten away from that. We've kind of gotten to, you know, I need to have this title and that car, and I need, you know, you to carry my book, my Bible, and I need you to do this, that, or the other, and I'm untouchable, I'm unapproachable, you know, and I'm all that in the bag of chips. And it makes people not want to be involved. And then we give people a false sense of hope that, you know what, yeah, you want to aspire to be all of this, but we forget why we're all of that and why God called us to be that in the first place, so that we can be an example before the people, so that we can serve the people, so that we can help the people. It's all about God's people. And so that, for me, is one of my pet peeves, and I think that's why I run away from the title so much, because I don't want people to focus on, you know, you were anointed as a prophetess, and you are minister, and you're this, that, and the other. No, I'm just Ciola. And for me, that's a safe place. If I'm just Ciola, I stay safe. I stay humble before God, because I don't have to announce who I am. I don't have to walk up and say, I'm Prophetess Ciola. I'm Minister Ciola. I don't have to say any of that. Because if God has called me to be any of those things, then it is God who will announce me when it's necessary to be announced. I don't have to do that.
Yes.
All I have to do is stay humble and obey. And quite frankly, that's all I want to do. So the condition of the church is on my heart, and so I try to live a life that, you know, that demonstrates my love for God, and my love for God is to stay in a position of obedience and humility, and to also help women and children. And if I can continue to do that, then, hey, it's glory to God, and that's why I always say glory to God. So that's
praise
my heart.
God. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. Well, we're right at about 7 minutes. And so in closing.
Go ahead.
Okay. So in closing, what advice would I give to women and men that are listening in pertaining to some of the things that we have discussed? What I would say is, don't allow your past to limit your future. Don't allow restrictions that others place on you to rob you of your potential. Trust God and take the hard steps, even when you can't see the road. Follow His leading, and sometimes that path will be unseen. You just have to follow His instructions, whether it be to go to the right, whether He's telling you to go to the left, whether He's telling you to go straight ahead. Sometimes He might just tell you to stand. But that's when we have to just trust what He has said before us. So as we're about to conclude, is there anything else you would like to share with us, upcoming events, announcements regarding ministry?
You know, I'm really excited about the things that God has allowed me to do so far, and the things that, you know, that are upcoming in terms of the play and the different things. You know, sometimes it's amazing to me that I get quite a bit of people you know, saying, oh, God, you know, you're doing great things and you're doing wonderful things, and it really makes me uncomfortable. You know, you're doing such great things, and, oh, my God, you wrote a play, and, oh, my God, you this. And, I, again, I think it's just that hype, you know. It's like God unveiled it. It's not that it wasn't there, because, again, he foreknew you, so he knew the things you were going to do. He knew what he called you to do. All we have to do is say yes. You know, God is never going to force us to do anything. He presents it to us, and it's up to us to say yes, you know. So I just said yes. You know, now, honey, trust me, had I known all the pain and all the sacrifices that would have been required and all the tears and all the difficult times and the financial struggles and the losing things, and, you know, that it was going to require all of that, you know, to now be here. And you know, we're not making tons and tons of money. All of these things are not happening, but the joy is coming from seeing the lives that are being touched, not by us, but by God.
Right.
When we do these Trinity tours and the stories that we're hearing after the fact, and, you know, the shouts that are taking place while the Trinity tour is taking place, you know, not because they're shouting at us and we get to pop our collars and stand up there. No, it's God. It's God. And that's what I try to get people to see. It's not us. It's God.
It's God.
God is doing this. He's breaking chains. He's setting people free. He's doing it, you know. And that's my joy is when a woman can come up to us after the Trinity tour. My joy is when somebody can come up to me after I minister, and I don't really like that. But when they do come up and say, you know, God really just blessed me. I love it when it's not about me. I love it when they refer.
Right.
Put the praise where it goes. It goes
back to God.
Right
back
on
to
God. Back to God.
Yes.
And that way, when they do that, it keeps me safe. You know, I'm trying to stay in the safe zone. And that safe zone is a humility zone, you know.
Yes.
But I just want to, you know, so I just want to encourage people to keep the focus on God. It's not about us, people. It's not about us. It's about God. And when you stay humble before God, when you keep redirecting people back to him and letting them know that it's him, he's the one who could love you. He's the one that could save you, set you free. He's the one that could give you everlasting joy. It's him. It's him.
Yes, it
and
is.
And I'm just honored to be a vessel available to him. Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Hate to cut you off. We've got 2 minutes left. So, listeners, we'd love to hear your feedback and what you thought about tonight's show. You can send us your feedback via text to 925-329-1366. 925-329-1366, or you can send us an email to info@sceoanew.org, info@sceoanew.org. With that being said, Sister Talk is a weekly talk show, and it will air every Thursday at 7 p.m. for 1 hour. So please mark your calendars to tune in, and by all means, you are encouraged to share, and share again. This is your special guest host, Pamela Dobson, a.k.a. Mama Pam, and I'm going to turn it back over to your host, Ceola J. Abrams.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mama Pam. I thank you for agreeing to be the host for tonight's, the special guest host for tonight's episode of Sister Talk. It was interesting. Interesting being on the other side of the interview table, having been asked the questions and really kind of having to dig deep for the answers. I don't know what the purpose of this was, but I know that God definitely said do it. I'm on last Sunday, and I struggled with it again right up until 4:30 today, contemplating canceling the show. But and then having lost my grandmother this past Tuesday, very difficult time, very hard time. So I praise God because even in that, he showed that you can persevere, you can overcome, and you can move forward. So again, I just wanted to say thank you. This is your host, Ceola J. Abrams, and you have been listening to Sister Talk. And again, tune in next Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to having you listen in. And again, thank you, Mama Pam, for agreeing to be the special host. And I pray that someone was definitely touched and encouraged and inspired to persevere past your difficulties, your challenges, because all they are masks. You can persevere past them. You can overcome, and you can be victorious and triumphant, but not in your own strength. Stay humble before God and recognize that it's only through God that you can do all things. Never lose sight that it's not about you, but it's about the people in which God has entrusted to you. Stay humble and watch God do great things in your life. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we look forward to having you next Thursday, 7 p.m.